Tim Blaine Shapiro, Divorce661.com, Daily Perspective, Episode 57, where I go over case reviews, judgment reject issues, all the consultations I had, issues people are having with their judgments, rejections. Also, you can learn from the process, learn about what I do behind the scenes. At Divorce661, we make divorce better. I don't know if I'm going to stick with that. Kind of like it. All right, we always start off with our stats. So stats for the month so far, for March 20th. 26 new cases this month so far, 113 new divorce cases so far for the year. Again, still on track, about 40 to 50 divorce cases a month, what we handle. Very high volume because we're handling amicable divorce cases with the folks who are in agreement or will reach an agreement. And the benefit is you get your divorce done very quickly anywhere in California. 18 consultations we had the last couple days, 7 new cases. Two in LA County, it was Chatsworth and Central Division, one in Riverside, 2 in San Diego cases. In fact, we took taking 2 more today from consultations I had earlier, 1 in Santa Clara, 1 in Lancaster. And again, I kind of go over those so you get an idea of the different places and counties I work, which is every county in California. I had 7 judgments / settlement agreements drafted for LA County, Solano County, San Diego, and 2 in Riverside. So it's been quite a busy couple of days, and I'm going to go over some of these settlement agreements, and then I'm going to go over some of these consultations and questions that came up, because a lot of the questions that come up are very similar amongst the callers that I get every day. So here we go. As far as the settlement agreements go, very common that each will keep their own assets and debts, no spouse support. We had a Riverside case, the 3 kids, no assets and debts, mom want full custody. The reason it doesn't matter what you guys want. The court will not interfere with the process. You guys just tell me what you want. I'll get it done. Don't worry about the fact that you can't terminate spouse support on a long-term marriage. Don't worry that you want to waive child support. And you've heard that it can't happen. I'm going to talk about that in some details later on in the consultation section of this video. I had an LA County case, had 1 minor child, just joint legal and physical custody. They didn't want any specific parenting plan. They didn't want child support. They didn't want spouse support. And each were keeping their own assets and debts. They had a child born before marriage, and I'm going to talk about that. So very common that people, even in long-term marriages, they each want to keep their own assets and debts, 401ks, pensions, even if they're not equal. The court's not going to force you guys to divide everything equally. We don't even, on the settlement agreement, list the values in most cases of the assets that you're keeping or splitting, unless we have to, for a numerical reason, because it makes sense. Otherwise, we're saying 100% you're keeping, or it's being divided 50-50. So the court really has no way of determining if the settlement agreement we are putting together is fair. The other thing I want to talk about, so just because these folks and many folks keep their own assets and debts in short-term and long-term marriages, many of them also divide them equally or some variation or mix of the two. I can probably say with a fair amount of certainty that the majority of our cases have never been exactly equal. As level of fairness, obviously, they were not going on the 50-50 rule, but they felt it was fair for maybe a variety of different reasons, such as wanting to keep the house in lieu of keeping a pension, you know, to keep the kids in the home. So there's different reasons that make the settlement agreement fair versus just equal values. So we've had several cases this week that, and I just took a new one today, where there's children born before the marriage. Not a huge issue, doesn't really change anything except for when you go to submit your settlement agreement, you need to attach the declaration of paternity. And the declaration of paternity is a document you would have gotten from the hospital. It would have been, I think your copy would be, I think it's yellow or pink, but it basically says when the child was born at the hospital, who the parents were, who was there, who witnessed, etc. It's a declaration of paternity. I'm not talking about the birth certificate. I know your spouse is probably on the birth certificate, but when a child is born before the marriage, then the father's listed on the birth certificate. That's one thing, but the courts want to see the declaration of paternity. And in my experience in the last 12 years doing this, most people don't have this form. So I have to create a declaration of paternity. If you are doing your own divorce, you're not going to have this declaration of paternity unless you can find it. So you're going to need someone like me to draft one out of thin air, and I can draft that declaration. It gets attached to the FL-170 form when you file your judgment. And I probably should have pulled up. I wonder if I can without, let me see if I can pull this up for you. Let me close this out. I got to be careful not to show client information. So bear with me 1 second here. Let me just close these forms. I'm going to open up a blank client. I'm going to show you the 170, what I'm referring to. People will say, Tim, you talk a lot, but you're not showing us the forms. Where's the 170? Here it is. So let me share my screen, see if I can find the right one. Share screen. Okay. Window. Nope. Bear with me. Where is it? Here we go. Let me share this. Okay, so here's the 170. Let me draw. Oh, if I move that, it moves the whole thing. Okay, I have to look over to the right for a minute. So the 170, when you're this is part of the judgment package. When you're turning in the judgment package, this is one of the forms. And you'll notice on here, where is it at? On page 3, it has this line item number 9 here, parentage. And it says, parentage of the children of the petitioner and the respondent born prior to the marriage or domestic partnership should be ordered as set forth in the proposed 180. Declaration, a voluntary declaration of paternity is attached. You're going to want to mark this box and this box and say, and then you're going to want to attach the declaration of paternity. The other place I want to say this needs to be addressed is in the 180. Again, I should have prepped this for you guys. And on the 180, when you list your children here, you got, don't forget this little box right here. This number 2, parentage is established for children of this relationship born prior to the marriage. You have to have that in there. If you miss those boxes on the 170 and the 180, you don't check them, you don't mark the box, you don't attach the declaration of paternity, your judgment will be rejected. So that's something that I want to call out. If you're doing your own divorce and you have children born before the marriage, don't miss that. Okay, next case issue we had, Santa Clara case, 8 years married, no minor children, just asset and debt division. They did have a home and they were going to do a buyout. They agree that the husband will remain on the loan until mortgage rates come down. I can't tell you how many times a week this is the settlement agreement or the discussion on the home is going to be that one spouse is going to keep the house, but because they have a 3% interest rate and a refinance would put them closer to 7 and triple their mortgage, they are staying on the mortgage. And what they're doing is for the buyout, they're either using like a 401k or another source for that buyout, or they're pulling out a second mortgage and using the second mortgage as the buyout. And if they can't do a full buyout because, say, there's a ton of equity, they are making payments on the remaining portion. So when I tell you that you guys can come up with any type of arrangement when it comes to your settlement agreement, sky's the limit. You let me know what you want, I'll get it done. But a lot of interesting, I don't know if they're interesting anymore, pretty common. Everyone that has a home, if someone wants to keep it, there's got to be a buyout. The refinance is going to cause an issue with the interest rate. What people are doing by default is the spouse who's being bought out and leaving is staying on the mortgage. So the spouse doing the buyout can keep the original mortgage and the low interest rate. And then they have any myriad of different options. You know, we've seen them say, wait, when the interest rates come down to 3%, which, you know, they'll refinance. If we ever see that again, is doubtful, but that's what they put in their settlement agreement. So maybe they're stuck on the loan forever. Maybe it's not going to impact them or they don't plan on buying a house. Only downside is if, you know, mortgage isn't paid, your credit's going to go down with the spouses. But yeah, you guys can come up with any arrangement you like. And we have people saying, you know, if the house can't be refinanced within 5 years at a, you know, better interest rate, then they'll sell. So lots of options when it comes to the house, but it's coming up again and again. Okay, another Santa Clara case. I've been talking about Santa Clara a lot. Aside, so we handle every county in California. Certain counties we handle more of. Probably half my business is in the county I reside in LA County. And then it kind of seems like the further out from me, the fewer cases we get, but we still get quite a few. San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, tons of cases, Orange County, Ventura. And then we'll skip all these counties. Like, I should have pulled up a map, but we'll skip like Santa Barbara. I'll get a few there. And then whatever counties are in between that and Santa Clara, but we get a ton of Santa Clara. Santa Clara might be my number two county. And the Santa Clara is problematic. I talk about this all the time. And it's not that they're problematic. It's that this county handles their divorce cases completely different than any other county in California. They have some different rules. They want the judgment done differently. I'm going to go over those. I made some notes here. So let me get into it. I said Santa Clara requires their judgments to be prepared a certain way. They want the MSA style judgment. So, you know, I talk about you can use the forms like the 180, 343, 345 for custody, 341 custody order, 342 child support order. So with them, we actually use a combination of the forms and the settlement agreement. So I really feel bad for you folks that are trying to do your own divorce in Santa Clara County. And maybe that's why we have so many cases there, because they're so problematic. The divorce process is difficult enough, regardless of what county you're in, missing, dotting an I and crossing a T, spell a name wrong on one form, divorce gets rejected. So Santa Clara, you can 10X those problems. So they want judgments prepared a certain way. They want the MSA style judgment, and they want you to include the final divorce date on the 180 and 190. Okay, so let me share that again. Maybe I should have just left that up. I'm going to show you on the judgment how this differs from every other county in California with what they do here. Let's see, where is it? Entire screen. It'll be this guy here. Let me share this. So here you have the 180. So this is going to be the face page, the cover sheet of your judgment package. This is not the judgment. Let me just back up a little bit. People will turn just this two-page form into the court. That's it. They won't turn any other form. They said, oh, I turned in my judgment. It was rejected, and I'll see what they turned in. It was this form. You have to turn in all these other forms here. You have to turn in the 341, the 342, the 343, and the 345, and you have to turn in the 343 spousal order and 345 property order, even if there's no property and even if there's no spouse support, and you're going to say there's no spouse support and there's no property to divide. So you still need those. Of course, you don't need the custody or support order if you don't have those, but those are the attachments you need to attach. In addition to that, you see how it says here that there's, in all these line items, that there's a settlement agreement, stipulation for judgment, settlement agreement, stipulation for judgment. There's also a settlement agreement type narrative that we'll include, which we do that for several counties, Santa Clara being one of them, and other counties that don't strictly just allow you to use the forms. They don't consider the forms to be part of the judgment for some reason, and I just don't know why that is, but we've learned over the years which ones allow it, which ones want a combination, and which ones just want a straight up marital settlement agreement. But what I want to talk to you about with Santa Clara is they want you to write, okay, there's a lot of things, and I'm going to see if I can remember them all, because I have a checklist of my own just for Santa Clara County, because we handle so many cases there. But what we're talking about here is when you're doing this, you're normally saying your dissolution. You see where it says date marital or domestic partnership ends. In every court in California, you do not fill this in. Same here, where it says divorce, judgment of dissolution entered. Every county, we do not fill that in. Only Santa Clara wants us to write in date judgment filed if it's after the 6 months, and they want you to write in the actual 6 month final divorce date if you're filing your judgment before the 6 months. That way they don't have to write it in, but they will reject your entire judgment if you don't do one of those two things. So how do we handle this? If we are turning in a judgment that we started from scratch, which means we usually have everything finalized in a couple of weeks, we can submit as soon as 31 days after the date of service of the petition. We don't have to wait 6 months to turn it in. So in those cases are being submitted that soon, we know the judgment will be approved in 3 to 4 months. So it will be right, will be before the 6 month mark. So we will then calculate out, and we will put the date in here for the date of the final divorce date. We'll put it here, and we'll put it here, and we'll put it on the 190 here. I'm sorry, not here, here. If you don't do that, your judgment will be rejected. The same boxes need to be completed. If you're turning in your case after the 6 months, then you're going to put date judgment filed. You don't do those two things in either case, or you leave it blank, reason for your judgment to be rejected. All right, let me bring this up here. Stop that. Okay, what else was Santa Clara? So we talked about the 6 months or date judgment filed on the 180 and 190. They want you to use, I got to bring that back up again. Sorry, guys. They want you to, window, entire screen, here we go. So they want you to ...99% of the courts want us to mark this default or uncontested divorce. They want us to specifically mark by default under Family Code Section 2336. This is only, there's actually some other courts that do that, but mostly Santa Clara wants us to mark this box. Also, on the 170, all right, we're moving right along here. This is how different Santa Clara is, people. On the 170, when it comes to the type of case, remember we had already talked about this a little bit. If you have a default default with agreement case, which is the type of cases we tell you to submit, so you don't have to pay a fee for the response. In every other court, we mark that this is proceeding by default because it's a default with agreement. See how these match up. Santa Clara wants us to mark that it's uncontested, even though it's not an uncontested action. It's so bizarre. See, uncontested is here if it's a response filed. So these boxes would normally match up. Uncontested, when it's uncontested and a response filed, then yes, you're marking uncontested here, but not when it's a default with agreement. But Santa Clara will reject your judgment if you do a default case, default with agreement, and then you say that this matter is proceeding by default. So that's another change. Let me see before I change this, if there's any other things different with Santa Clara. No, that was it. So you got the settlement agreement needs to be done differently. You need a combination of forms and marital settlement agreement language. You need to have, obviously, the proper spouse support termination waiver if it's a marriage longer than 10 years. So that's in every court, as well as the child support reserve jurisdiction language, if that's what you're doing. And again, that's for every court. So Santa Clara, much different. Tons of cases up there. And happy to take your case if you find yourself in Santa Clara. We just started a new one today, and we have another one coming in tomorrow. All right, another LA County case. In this matter, they were married 25 years. He filed their case on March 12th. And finalized the settlement agreement, which they both electronically notarized on March 17th. So that's how fast we can get your case complete if you already have an agreement coming into us. March 12th, we filed, got a case number issued. March 17th, they have notarized their settlement agreement, and they're totally done. Now, I have to wait 31 days. Excuse me. I have to wait 31 days from when the petition was filed so we can submit the judgment for review. You do not have to wait 6 months and then turn it in. We wait the 31 days from the date of service, so we can do the request enter default and we can file the judgment package. In LA County, we'll get those approved. Let's say we submit it on the 31st day. Usually it's a couple days. Sometimes it's a week because they're busy for approval. So we're approved at week five, call it week six. 6 months later, they're officially divorced. So you keep that in mind, but their divorce is done, approved in 5 weeks. The other courts are no different, except we can't e-file their final judgment paperwork. We can turn it in still 31 days after we've started the process, but then it goes into their 2 to 6 month review process, depending on how busy they are. And every county is a little bit different. I could probably rattle them off. I would say, just to be safe, most courts are running 3 to 4 months for review and approval of your judgment once you submit it. So the sooner you get it in, the sooner it gets in line for review and the sooner it gets approved. All right, had a San Diego divorce case. Father had moved out of state, so mom was having full legal and physical custody. They want no child support and no spouse support. So even if one spouse has full legal and physical custody, and say 99% of the timeshare, because in this case, like the husband lived out of state and probably wasn't going to have much visitation, you still can reserve jurisdiction on the child support. And I think in this particular case, maybe mom was full-time working and had the ability to, you know, care for a child, didn't need child support. And I think also maybe husband wasn't working, so there might have not been any anyways. But I see people making these decisions for full legal and physical custody. And of course, they agree to that. And sometimes they don't want to ask for child support because then they think that their spouse would argue, well, if you're going to want child support based on, you know, 90% timeshare, then I'm going to fight for 50-50 so the child support is reduced. We're not dealing with that here. Those are not the types of cases we take. If that's kind of what is going on in your world, probably wouldn't be a good resource for you. But I don't know if that, you know, that can be part of your decision making. I get it. You know, hey, I'd rather have my kids with me and I want full custody and I don't want to, you know, if I ask for 50-50, they're going to want, or if I ask for child support, they're going to ask for 50-50 custody. I'm sure that's a game that's played often. All right, now we're going to talk about the consultations. Had a lot of consultations, but I'm going to go over the ones that I wanted to comment on. All right, consultation. We had a client who had consulted with a mediation firm, and his primary goal was to keep his assets private as much as possible. And they went to a mediator who, I guess, also did the paperwork filing with the courts, which isn't normally the case. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but mediators usually aren't doing what a legal document preparer does. They're not licensed to do that, but I'm assuming they do. But the mediator wanted to draft an MOU, which stands for Memorandum of Understanding, that contained the reason for the divorce. Get this, the reason for the divorce, their incomes, and then wanted to attach to the petition, which you never do. So many things wrong with this. This gentleman hired us today. And so the mediator's role, I'm not going to get into the mediator's role, but get into the paperwork side. So when mediators do an MOU, and this is what I explained to them, a memorandum of understanding is kind of a written dialogue, if you will, and I'm sure there's a better explanation for this, but a written dialogue of the discussions between you and your spouse when they're mediating your case. And there's going to be language in there that would not be included in a marital settlement agreement. So it could be the rationale, for instance, like why are we making these decisions on alimony, child support, property division? It will have like discussion points, like the parties discuss the fact that the reason wife is keeping the pension, that it's equal value to the house, and that's why that's an equal trade-off, and that's why the parties made this agreement. That goes in a memorandum of understanding, not in a settlement agreement. Settlement agreement states the facts. Husband's keeping the house, wife's keeping the 401k. But the problem with this more so was they wanted to submit this memorandum of understanding document in as attachment to the petition. You never do that. Never. And I've seen that several times in the last few weeks where clients are attaching their petition, their settlement agreement, and asking the court to approve it as it relates to the attachment to the petition. You don't do that. The petition is just an opening document, boilerplate information. You can see what's on there, names, addresses, date of marriage, date of separation, children's names, date of birth. Nothing has to do with the agreement, just giving the court and the other party an idea of what some of your requests are going to be. You don't put your terms in there. The MOU and why you wouldn't want to file an MOU even as a settlement agreement is the other thing that the mediator was going to do is put all the incomes in there. You know, husband makes X amount, wife makes X amount. Here's how much they're putting so much financial information into the settlement agreement. And if you watch my videos, you know, my goal is to keep your private information secure and only give the court the information they need to, you know, to avoid, it's not likely someone will ever get their hands on it, but is your paperwork technically a public record? Technically is. If someone wanted to get that information, could they? I'm sure there's a way they could do that. And do you want that information out there? Your incomes, where you work, how much custody is, the reason you got divorced? Like they're going to put the reason they got divorced in the MOU. And, you know, if you want to have an amicable divorce, don't talk about why you're getting divorced in a discussion document. It was just bizarre. So I can see why this gentleman hired me. There's so many other outpoints with what they were being told from these other folks, this other mediation firm. And here's another thing. They didn't even need mediation. They had a full agreement. You don't need to go to a mediator if you're in agreement. All they're going to do is document what your discussion is and what your terms are. And then they're going to send you over to someone like me who's going to draft your settlement agreement that is a totally different document that doesn't include 90% of what's in that other MOU discussion document. All right, moving on. Consultation. Had a lease and it would end in 3 months discussed starting the divorce now to start the clock on the 6 months, but not finalized until towards the end of the lease was ending so they could see if the wife would be working by then. So this was an interesting consultation, super amicable couple. Their lease to their apartment was ending in about 3 months. So he said, Tim, do you think we should wait to file for divorce until the lease ends and we go our separate ways? And I said, you absolutely could. That wouldn't be wrong to. because their concern was they want to have a settlement agreement that included alimony or spouse support based on the needs of like future apartment costs and so forth, and make sure they could both afford that. I said, totally fine, you could do that. But the benefit of starting your divorce now is we can file, get a case number issued by the court, and start the clock on the 6 months. And then in 3 months, when your lease comes up, then we can work on your settlement agreement. When you know, hey, I'm moving, you know, she's moving here, I'm moving there. Here's where our incomes are. I think the other issue was she was not working at the moment and was going to use these next 3 months to get a job, which would also affect the amount of spouse support. So I said, we start it now, start the clock, take a break. That 3 months can run. You guys move out, get your separate things. Does she have a job? Great. We can use those income numbers to run the spouse support number, which is going to be a more accurate number doing that then than doing it now, because now it's based on they have one income and one rent. They're living together and she's not working, to where if we write the settlement agreement together, write the settlement agreement 3 months, you know, later when they're closer to maybe she has a job and income, it's going to make more sense. Another consultation. Okay, I'm going to talk about reserved child support versus waiving child support. Talk about the best interests of the children, and if you're being told you have to have a child support order. So there's a big play on words here, and I get a lot of pushback. I talk about this all the time. And I know I get a lot of clients because of this, because people want to go this route. I want to say at least 80% of our clients with minor children do not want an official court order saying that they have to pay any amount of child support. Doesn't mean they're not paying child support behind the scenes or taking care of their kids. They just don't want an official order of child support. Now, do you need a child support order as part of your settlement agreement? Yes, you have to attach a child support order, but you can ask for the child support to say reserved jurisdiction. Note the word reserved. What that means is that the court retains jurisdiction over the issue of child support, so there can be a future request from either party or stipulation to child support, as opposed to the word waived. People keep inserting the word waived for reserved. You cannot waive child support. If you put waive child support in your petition or you put waive child support in your settlement agreement, your judgment will be rejected. You can't do that. We used to do what's called a non-guideline order, where we'd say, here's the incomes of the party, here's the child support calculation. Even though child support says it's $500, the parties agree to a non-guideline, the guideline being the calculated amount in the DistroMaster. They say we want a non-guideline and we're requesting zero, and it's still in the best interest of the children and they'll be taken care of. And those get approved as well. What we've been happening for the last maybe 6 months is the courts have changed direction. They want to say just reserve jurisdiction. And what's nice about this is we don't have to do the DistroMaster and we don't have to include your incomes and we don't have to show what child support should be in the amount. We just put reserved. So if you're another LDA or you're a mediator or maybe an attorney, every time I have this video and I talk about this, people question me up, down, left, and right. I could show you 50 divorce cases I've done in the last 3 months with approved cases by the court with children and reserved jurisdiction, no child support. Not no child support order, not waiving child support, reserved jurisdiction. And that is the key word. All right, another consultation from today. Currently, clients that live in Mexico, but their domicile is LA County. So they don't consider themselves, I guess they're full-time living there, but they still have a home in LA County. And they're concerned about having to be served and going to court. And they thought they had to be personally served here. There'd be a hearing. And how are they going to do that being out of country? Super simple. Especially with LA County, everything is e-filed, e-signed, and e-notarized for LA County. When you use a service like mine, you don't have to be personally served. I'm going to have you sign a document called a notice and acknowledgement. It has the same purpose as being served. We do that because it's super amicable. We date it the day after the case has been filed so we can start the clock on the 6 months almost immediately from the file date. And so we're going to handle their case. They're both living in Mexico. They're amicable. They're in agreement. One of the issues that can come up is if your spouse is, and we had this happen with someone in the Philippines. I said, that's no problem. We can just have them e-notarize. But they didn't have a credit profile. And when you do the electronic notary services, like I use proof.com, they generate some credit questions, like what kind of car have you had in the past and which of these addresses have you lived at in the last 10 years? And that's how they pull that from your credit profile, and that's how they verify your identity in addition to using your driver's license. Well, they didn't have a credit profile, so they couldn't generate those questions, so they couldn't use the e-notary. So in this case, they had to go to the consulate in the Philippines. We've had that happen in Canada as well. We try to avoid that, but where parties have already filed and when the respondent lives out of state, that's the only two ways we can get the notary. E-notary, if they have a credit profile in the U.S., or U.S. consulate in the country they're residing. But yeah, super simple. They thought this was going to be complex, that they're going to have to come back to California to file. Not an issue. We're going to treat that like any other case. You live in anywhere else deployed, military, but your domicile is in California. No problem. And even if it's not LA County, the e-file just makes it simpler. That's why I keep mentioning LA County. Any county you live in, as long as you have access to a computer, you can print documents and mail internationally back to me. We do that all the time. All right, next consultation. I want to talk about when people say they have an easy divorce. And I know what you're saying. You're amicable. You're in agreement. Maybe you have lots of assets and debts, or you don't. It doesn't matter, but you agreed who's keeping what. But everyone thinks it's easy because you guys agree. I can tell you half our clients have quote-unquote easy divorces that called us after working on their own divorce for 2 years, up to 5 years or longer, and have been rejected so many times. You know, I do a lot of the short videos on rejected judgments, over and over and over rejected on their easy divorce. Because even if you're in agreement, it's still a very challenging and difficult legal process to get through with the courts, and frustrating. The other thing is, like this gentleman on the consultation today said, oh, we're easy because we don't want spousal support. I said, okay, how long have you guys been married? He said, 23 years. I said, okay, are you aware that if you're married longer than 10 years, you have to get the court's permission, or you have to mutually waive jurisdiction over spouse support, and there's special language that you have to include in your judgment? And he said, oh, no. I said, and the court's not going to tell you either. You got to use a service like mine that knows how to get that done. Otherwise, your judgment will be rejected, as you're going to put terminate spouse support on the judgment, and you're going to turn it in, say, hey, it's easy, we're amicable, we agree to terminate, and the judgment's going to get rejected, because it's going to say, and they'll probably say it in such a non-specific, super legalese way that you're going to have no idea what they're talking about. But what they're saying is you need this full page of legalese in there that basically says you guys are mutually waiving spouse support, because normally the court would retain jurisdiction over the issue of spouse support indefinitely. And again, on the easy divorce front, we're easy. We don't want child support. We're going to waive it. We talked about that earlier. You can't waive it. You can reserve it. But if you do your own divorce and you say, we want to waive it, and you don't have the right language in there for child support, and you don't have an amount for child support, it's going to get rejected. Which brings me to another case I wasn't going to talk about, but on the child support issue, they said, Tim, our divorce is easy. We agree to X amount of child support. I said, okay, well, you know, if you do this on your own, you're going to go to court and you're going to submit your judgment and you're going to say, here's our agreed amount child support, $500, doesn't matter. And the court's going to reject it and say, okay, show us your spouse support or your child support calculation with your incomes, showing us that the guideline amount per the child support calculation / DISO master shows $500 even. No, I don't have one. Okay, how do I get one? You have to go to court, talk to the mediator's office or the facilitator's office, and they're going to run the numbers for you. And guess what? It's not going to be $500 exactly. It's going to be $1,000 or $800 or $300, and it's not going to match. So now you need to do a non-guideline order, but you're not going to do that. You know what's going to happen? The court's going to say, oh, the child support that you agreed to is more or less than the terms in your settlement, so it needs to be what this calculation is. You kind of lose, even if you don't go to trial, if you start using the court services, you start to lose your ability to reach an agreement, because they're not going to help you out. They're always going to give you, even the self-help center is going to treat you as if you're a litigant, which you are, and they're not going to care that you're in agreement. They're going to tell you, you can't do reserve jurisdiction on child support. They're going to tell you, you can't terminate spouse support on a long-term marriage. They're not going to give you that waiver language. They're not going to help you out in that way. That's why, you know, am I saying this because I think it's a mistake in doing your own divorce? Absolutely. you just don't, like, the clients that hire me from scratch don't know the amount of pain and suffering I'm saving them by them not doing their own divorce. The folks that have called me, and that's 50% of my business, that's that come to me after trying to do their own divorce, they know the pain that I'm saving them from. And many times I've even had people that have worked on their case for several years hire me. I fixed everything in one day. They e-signed it, notarized it, e-filed, and it was even approved on the same day. And they're like, Tim, we've been working on this 3 to 5 years and you just got it done in a day. Yes. Okay. Consultation. This is a judgment preparation case. I was just talking to you about half our business comes to us for people who have already filed. We can do a full takeover. I have to do a review all of your documents from anything you've already filed. Even if you've turned in the judgment and had a reject sheet that has one issue listed on it, I guarantee there's at least 10. But this one was kind of interesting because people make all kinds of weird mistakes. In this one, the husband filed, used the wrong name for his wife, listed the middle name as the first name, and the first name as the middle name, got the last name right, thank God, only listed one of their two children on the petition and on the UCCJEA because they forgot they had a second child. But, you know, I can't blame them. You're going through divorce, trying to do the paperwork. Apparently, he had some help from another service doing it, so maybe they forgot it. Maybe it wasn't the spouse. But when you do that, you start your own divorce. This was in 2023. It was October. So they're already 6 months in the divorce process, never served the paperwork. So they never started the clock. So, and I have to amend the summons petition and UCCJA to make the corrections to all the errors they made. And then we will serve that. So 6 months into doing their divorce, their 6 months hasn't even started. We're starting basically from scratch. Total downside to doing your own divorce. All right. Consultation. Dissolution of domestic partnership. Is on the call, said, oh, I thought it would be easy, but realized that the process is exactly as the same as the dissolution of marriage and domestic partnership and legal separation all follow the same process, community property stuff, all the same decisions. If there's going to be, if there's children in custody, if there's, you know, support needs to be addressed, property division, your pensions, 401ks, all of that needs to be addressed. If you notice on the petition, it's the same form. It used to be several years ago, the domestic partnership used to be a different form altogether. Now all three are on the petition: dissolution of marriage, dissolution of domestic partnership, and legal separation. It's just a different checkbox. Now the processes are very similar. Again, all the same decisions have to be made. Divorce, you know, it's the whole 6 month process. The legal separation does not have that 6 month requirement, but all the same decisions have to be made. If I haven't said that 16 times already, so. That's it for this episode of episode 57 of the Daily Perspective, and we will be back with you tomorrow for more. Thanks for watching.